Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week I have a friend of mine, Carly Obrachta, on to talk about a very special project that she did last summer with some of her nanny kids of eating their way around the world. It was so cool, and I was like, Carly, please come talk about this on the podcast. Hi, Carly.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Excited to have you. But before we get into the meat, literally, of this episode, let's hear a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I'm the oldest of three kids. So I started babysitting them pretty young. I was probably 12 or 13. And then, you know, just kind of on and off for neighborhood kids for a while. And then last, I guess it was the school year of 2015-2016. Mm-hmm. I was working at a spa as a front desk, and I needed a little extra income, so mm-hmm. I put my stuff on Sitter City, and this family reached out to me, so I babysat them after school for the whole year, and then they asked me to do the summer, which was super fun, and I had a really good time with them, so I ended up spending about 3 to 4 months with them. And
that's
then
so awesome.
Had a good time, yeah.
Yeah, and so in the summer you went to like full time, right?
Yeah, it was my first time doing full time, and I only did it for a couple months, but it was so much fun.
Yeah,
it was so good.
We were talking before we started the podcast about how this now you work in an office job, and it's hard now that the summer has hit.
Mm-hmm. I just want to swim.
I know. Yeah. I do enjoy my freedom in the summer, but I was also telling Carly earlier that my steps have gone up. Like, I have a Fitbit, and I'm already at, like, 16,000 for the day, and I expect to walk more before bed. So, well, awesome. Well, tell me how you got the idea to do this, like, cultural eating your way around the world.
Sure. So I actually, in third grade, my teacher kind of did something similar. We didn't actually make the food, but we did like a week per culture or per country. Mm-hmm. And we would go around, and I like have the distinct memory of learning how to use chopsticks through that lesson. So, you know, good life skills. And, you know, the kids I was watching were very picky eaters. Like the middle one, I remember he literally would make a sandwich for lunch sometimes, and I'd have to fight him to put something in it because he would just do bread and butter and then put two pieces of bread and butter together and call it a sandwich. And, you know, after a couple weeks, I started really wishing I had some more options.
Yes.
Because, you know, if that's what they're eating, the parents aren't buying all this stuff that nobody's going to eat. So right. They're kind of like, you know, and it was good. It was mac and cheese and grilled cheese and, you know.
So many different forms of bread and cheese
yes.
put together. That's because like one day for a family that I've nannied for in the past, they were like, I mean, probably grilled cheese. Like we've done mac and cheese a lot. And I was like, did you just hear what you said? Because it's the same, like
it's the same, just different form.
Yeah, I was like, if you know, if you want me to make a grilled cheese, I totally will. But it seems to me that they're not getting any more
yep.
nutrition.
It's the same. It's exactly the same.
I mean, I guess if you have like really good like whole grain bread, maybe a grilled cheese is better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can shake up what kind of cheese you put in there.
That's true.
Which is good.
That's true. But yeah, I was just like, and then quesadillas. And,
Yep. Actually, I made quesadillas for these kids and they gave me a very skeptical look because they didn't seem to understand the concept of like, it's the same thing you eat.
Just in different, a
little different
form. Yeah, exactly. And I always prefer to make quesadillas because they're just easier so to me easier. Than a grilled cheese.
Yeah, and they take so much less time.
Yes, exactly. But, well, great. So you picked a different country mm-hmm. each week mm-hmm. and did a little bit of studying of the culture.
Yeah.
And the kids that you were with were mm-hmm. older, right?
Yeah, so the oldest was going into 5th grade.
Okay.
And the youngest had just left preschool. She was going to kindergarten.
Oh,
so
okay.
They kind of range, but the two older boys were you know, the 5th grader, and then one was going into 4th grade. So
nice.
They were both older. So I definitely think they got a little more out of this than she did.
For
but
sure.
She liked the food, so it was
yeah,
good.
Yeah, which is totally getting stuff out of it. And then also I think just getting exposed to mm-hmm. to the idea that the world is a big, huge place
yeah.
and it's not just your tiny town
mm-hmm.
And that there are people that eat completely different meals every day. Like
yep.
that's their macaroni and cheese, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is a really cool way to introduce the idea yeah. of different cultures to kids, especially because for kids, food is so, I mean, for all of us, let's be honest, food is so important to us. And I know in like psychology, there's this idea of connection between like food and the mother, like when you miss your mom, that's like comfort food.
Right.
The idea of that kind of comes from home or the hearth or the mother
mm-hmm.
all being connected to like food. And so it would also, I think, be a good way if you were starting with a family for the summer only
mm-hmm.
to like kind of work with them to introduce that, like, oh, I can be, you know, different too, or I can be here for you too. So tell me more about like how you approached it. How did you tackle this?
Sure. So I think it was like a week or two after we started for the summer where I kind of was like, okay, let's do this. And I don't remember what the exact like moment was, but I remember we were either talking about maps or something, or, you know, something like that. And I was like, oh, have you guys tried food? Like, do you like Mexican food? Because I know mm-hmm. that was our first one for sure.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, you know, sometimes, whatever. And I was like, well, did you know you can make your own guacamole? And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, it's really fun. You get to like smash avocados.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, that sounds so cool. And I'm like, well, why don't we make some guacamole? And then from there, I was like, you know what? We can make this a whole thing. And so I had them, you know, list all the countries that they knew. And then I kind of helped guide them towards ones that
right.
I knew I could find food from that they would eat.
Yeah.
Because that was hard, them being so picky. There were some things I'm like, I have a feeling.
That's not going to go
really,
well.
Really difficult. So, yeah, we ended up with, I can't remember all of them, but I know we did Mexico. We did China. We did Japan. We did Korea. We did Italy.
Mm.
Greece was on our list, and I don't think we ever got to it. And I'm trying to think if there was another good one. I think those were like our main ones that I can remember off the top of my head that were
yeah,
really
those,
good ones.
Those sound really great.
Yeah.
And then I know like I found, as I was researching for this, I found a list on Huffington Post, which I will put up on chroniclesofnania.com and then also on the Nania Facebook. But Huffington Post did like 10 kids' foods from around the world that they will actually eat. and guacamole is the first one.
Yep.
And they go through and like crepes from France.
I should have done that.
Yeah. And French food. I also found this other article and I can't remember it now, but that was talking about like French food often has this like really stuffy reputation of like it's really expensive and it's, and I certainly as a child felt that way. I can remember as a 10-year-old, my grandmother wanted to take me to this fancy French restaurant for my birthday. And I was like, I just want to go to McDonald's. Like,
you think you're getting snails and
yeah, it was like, that's gross. Right. But in this article, they were talking about how it's not like, you know, even just like bread and cheese is technically French food. And you can talk about the culture behind that and like crepes, and crepes can be served as like savory dishes or sweet dishes or breakfast items or desserts or, you know, they're so versatile.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so, yeah, France, I think, would be a really fun one.
Put that on your list, guys.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
And then, but they, yeah, on this list, they have like Turkey and the Middle East, and how like olives and yogurt and hummus, you know, obviously hummus, which a lot of kids already eat, but then tying it into that culture and looking at the culture, especially if you have older kids like you did, I think that's such a good idea to expand their horizons.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And another thing we did with the food is we would tie in like an activity to go along with it. So something that they could, you know, grasp and understand and do, but that also like represented, you know, an aspect of that culture, so they could kind of get into it a little bit more, which was kind of fun too.
Yeah. So do you have any examples that you can remember?
Yeah, we did. I remember for Mexico, we played soccer because football is such a big thing for them.
Yeah, what a great idea.
Yeah, we just went in their backyard and we played for like an hour, and, you know, they already loved it and knew it. So it was like, oh, they play this over there. And I was like, yeah, they love it. It's great. It's a big sport over there. For a lot of countries in the world, it's bigger than most of the other sports.
So, yeah. Almost all of the other sports.
Yeah, exactly. So that was cool. And then, you know, because I'm a giant nerd, we watched like an episode of anime when we did Japan. So I could be like, this is something that, you know, they watch in Japan a lot. And so that was fun. And I think we went and got gelato when we did Italy. Like, we just went on a day trip to find like a little gelato store. So yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then I would think that, I mean, you know, check your local cities. But in Chicago, the nice thing is that we do have like Chinatown.
Yep.
So you could go down to Chinatown and like do a tour of Chinatown and look around, and that's an entire day. You would probably need kids that are old enough that they're out of nap zone.
Right.
But in the summer, a lot of times when you're a nanny, you do have, you are more likely to be working with older kids. And so then you could potentially like do a whole day somewhere, which would be so fun.
So fun.
How did you handle like getting the groceries and the necessities that you needed for these activities and food and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. So usually in the morning before the mom or dad left, I would, you know, the kids would be watching their like morning cartoons while eating breakfast or whatever. And I would go to just kind of go through their cupboard and be like, what do we have? What do we not? I'd pull up a recipe on my phone that I knew we were going to do that day, and then kind of figure out what I needed to go buy. And then, you know, after the kids were done with breakfast and after the parents left, I would have them go get dressed, and then we would go hop in the car and we'd go get groceries like first thing in the morning. There was a nice little local grocery store that was like tiny, but it had everything. So it wasn't like a Jewel where it was just really overwhelming with the kids. So it was really nice. And we would get the ingredients we needed, and they would help me pick out like the produce. And, you know, I'd have them be like, oh, we need this. Can you go find this for me? And then, you know, follow them around while they went and looked for it. So that was fun. And then
that's like a scavenger hunt.
It kind of was.
Yeah. What a cool idea. And like, yeah, that would, you would definitely need probably older kids to do it that way. But if you don't have older kids, a really great way to like do that potentially is, if you can, this is a lot, but like getting pictures of the things you need and being like, we have to find this. So depending on how much your own personal lesson plan threshold allows. But I would think that that would be really cool. And even if you could like put them on index cards and be like,
that'd be fun.
Hand each kid a card and be like, okay, this is your item that you're looking for. That would be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be good. That's clever.
Yeah. Okay. So you're in the grocery store. They're going and finding the items.
Yep. They're helping me out. And then, you know, the parents knew I was doing this, so they'd give me kind of like money to go deal with that. So I would, you know, I'd check out and we'd get back in the car and head home. And then depending on how long each recipe kind of took in like its stages.
Right.
Usually I wouldn't have to start right away. I'd kind of just put it all away and give it a minute or leave it on the counter for later. And then After, you know, an hour or two of hanging out, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to start making the food. Who wants to help me? Does anyone want to help? I never really forced them to because,
yeah,
you know, then, you know, sometimes it's not kids' thing.
Right.
And almost always all three of them would start and then they'd kind of dwindle.
Yep.
So
that's usually how it goes.
And it was really funny. It was a moment for me to realize, like, oh, I didn't like this gender norm in my head. I didn't think of, because I was expecting the youngest girl to be super into it and she was the least into it, and the oldest boy was super into it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's something that I learned for myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I vividly remember my youngest cousin in my family, first cousin in my family, wanted like a fire, like torch to make creme brulee when he was like 11.
That's so cool.
I know, he's a really cool guy and he's grown up into, he's only like 2 years younger than I am, but he's grown up into like an awesome human. But he, and I was like, oh my gosh, like you can, like your parents let you? And he was like, yeah, they do, because I researched it and like found out like what I wanted to do with it.
That's so cool.
If you, you know, let kids safely explore things, I think that's so cool to give them that autonomy to be like, we made this food together.
Yeah. And I think it made him enjoy it a little bit more too, as somebody who again was picky. Like I think because he saw everything that went into it and like he did it, like I think he liked it a little bit more than he might have if I just handed him the plates of these things. So
yeah, I totally agree. And then also knowing like the story behind the food, like why this food is potentially like popular in that area, like what about the terrain, like is good for this particular, like,
right,
you know, rice and things like that. Although I did find a book called Everyone Eats Rice, which talks about like how almost every culture includes rice in some form, you know, slightly less so in like Italy.
Sure.
But yeah, it's like how everyone, you know, it can bring us together too, of the fact that we all take these different foods or the same food and prepare them in really different ways too.
That's really cool. That's a cool thing to teach kids.
Yeah, I think so too. To, help expand the horizons, but also talk about how everyone's different, but we're all like kind of working with the same
stuff.
Ingredients. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's great. That's so cool. And so, and I love the idea of giving them the choice to help or not. That you would be like, I'm, you know, I'm going to be in the kitchen.
Yeah.
If you want to come help.
Right.
And so the older boy would stick with it the longest, you said?
He would. But I think also because he was, you know, pretty old, I let him at least sort of mix stuff that was on the stove with my supervision. So I think he knew he could get the furthest with it.
Right.
But usually what would happen is I would cut the ingredients and then put them in a little cup and hand it to the youngest, who would then dump it in a bowl. Then the middle child or the older child would, you know, he would mix it up for it. And then, you know, if it was something that needed to be baked, I'd usually take over from there. But yeah, especially I think with, like, again, the guacamole was a hit for us. And I think it's because you really do just get to smash a bunch of avocados. So for two, like, boys of that age, it was like,
smash.
Yeah, exactly.
Hulk smash.
Yeah, exactly. And we made homemade tortilla chips with it. So, like, they also got to make their own chips, and they loved the chips. Like,
yeah,
it was really fun. And, I think what else? I think we made tacos, too.
Nice.
So we had, like, a whole meal, and then what worked well is if they didn't like it, you know, I'd make them a backup something if they really weren't into it, and I'd make them try everything a little bit, and I'd be like, if you don't like it, you don't have to eat it, but you should try it because, you know, we made it and your brother made it and all of that. So, and it went pretty well. And then if they didn't like it, I would be like, okay, well, I'll make you, you know, toast with butter.
You can have your butter sandwich.
Exactly.
I tried.
Yeah.
Gave it my best effort.
I'm doing my best here. And then, you know, if most of them didn't like it, or if there was a lot of leftovers, I'm like, oh, well, I have lunch tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the parents can try it, which was also cool. They really enjoyed it. I know when we made the guacamole, that was gone by the next day when I got back, because the parents loved it too. And it was really fun. And, you know, I learned with the guacamole also that with some of the recipes, you know, there were ways to make it so that the kids would still like it, because, like, none of them like tomatoes, so I had to put a lot less tomato in there than I would if I was making it for me. So, like, I started learning how to
tailor it
yes.
to the kids' taste. Yeah, yep. that's a really good point.
Yeah.
But I do love the idea that because you're making it, you can mm-hmm. tailor it, but you can also like talk about what foods they like, what foods they don't. Right. So it's a really good like getting to know you for mm-hmm. the summer exercise.
For sure.
And then it's also a really good way to really think about what we're putting in our bodies and also mm-hmm. talk about that food is fuel
mm-hmm.
for our bodies.
Yeah.
Which for like slow eaters, mm-hmm. that's a really good thing because I always tell my kiddos, I'm like, you have to take a big bite of the protein. And then I'm like, okay, let me feel your muscle right now. And then I'm like, take a bite. And then that's I'm like, good. Now let me feel your muscle. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's huge.
You're so strong.
I was like, if you take three more bites, it's going to be so big. You're going to be Hulk.
Yeah, you can lift a car, but not really. But don't that.
Try. Maybe a toy car.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so we talk about that. And then yeah. I know also with girls as they mm. grow older and body image, mm. I mean, boys too, but it's a for stereotypically sure. female identifying yes. problem. and that talking about like food as fuel can help open the conversation mm-hmm. to help prevent or get in front of eating disorders yeah. or just... Not even like as far as disorders, but you know, every yeah. I think woman's relationship with food, and that's a really big generalization, but a yeah. lot of female relationships with food are tough.
Yeah, it's complicated.
It's very complicated. And so talking through that at a young age in such a healthy way
is good.
And yeah. seeing how the food is made mm-hmm. is really good.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I had more experience in that younger, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And thinking through, you know, if I include more veggies,
right,
it's better for me.
Yeah.
How do I make them delicious?
Right. I tried sneaking it into the ramen when we made, because we made like not like the, you know, 25-cent stuff you can get at the grocery store. It was right. like the real ramen.
Yeah.
And we tried making some of that. And actually that led to a really cool field trip because, I was up in like the suburbs of Chicago
mm-hmm.
and, in one of them, there's this place called Super H Mart, which is basically a giant Asian food supermarket.
Oh, wow.
And so you walk through and they have like all of the different, like, it's stuff you can't really get anywhere else. It's like yeah. specifically it's China, Japan, and Korea, a lot uh-huh. of that in particular. But yeah, they have like everything you could ever need there for any kind of Asian food. And they have like the fish market basically in there. And mm-hmm. it's a really cool place. So that was a really cool field trip for them. And I let them each pick out like a snack too when we were uh-huh. there, of like, oh, you want to try these weird chips
yeah.
that they hated but that they tried
because but they tried
they did try.
And that's a huge win
yeah
of just getting
yeah.
like, let's try something new.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
We've been listening to a lot of Yo Gabba Gabba, and there's a song that goes, try it, you'll like it. And so I say that, I find myself saying that at lunch all the time.
Yeah, that's good. But yeah, it was really cool because they, you know, one of them, they each picked out a bag of chips I think that day. And and then we also got the like Ramune soda, which mm-hmm. is cool too. And so that was like, we split one between all of them. But
right.
Yeah, they really enjoyed being able to pick it out too from there, and like that kind of a field trip, which was really cool and a really cool teaching moment.
Yes.
To be like, yeah, I know it looks very strange that there's this giant fish here, but you know, that's how it works. So
right.
It's cool.
That's what you eat for dinner. Yeah. It's just in a very different
exactly,
form.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, it was really cool. And then yeah, I tried sneaking vegetables into the ramen. They very much just ate the noodles and a little bit of the broth.
Well, there's vegetables in the broth, I
it's
guess.
True. It's true.
the vitamin seep. I don't know how it works.
I don't know either. I tried.
Yeah. Good effort. A for effort.
Yep.
You can't make kids drink
no.
or eat anything
no.
they don't want to.
Nope.
But yeah, what a cool way to also talk about trying new things
mm-hmm.
of like just take a bite, see if you like it.
Yeah.
I cannot remember which nanny it is that I do play dates with frequently. Because there are so many, because we have fun. But she or he usually says, like, I try things, like, a few times in my life
mm-hmm.
and like talks to the kids about that of like, yeah. I tried it when I was little and I didn't like it then. And then I tried it again when I was a teenager and like,
I liked a lot more stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, and then I tried it, or she, and I tried it now and I like a lot more stuff. So he's like, also don't give up on a food.
Yeah.
Even absolutely. If you don't, you know, love it now.
Right.
Keep trying it because your tastes change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like I was a very picky eater as a kid. Mm-hmm. I still would rank myself a little above them on the picky scale. But it was, and even like now I'm still a little bit picky, but I wouldn't do any sauce on anything. I wouldn't do like mashed potatoes were a no-go. Like there's so many things that I just would not eat. And now I'm like, oh, this is like my favorite food. So I don't know what I was missing.
Yeah, I used to rank restaurants in my hometown by their chicken fingers.
I did that by grilled cheese. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Yep. And I can still tell you, there was this restaurant called Regis in Knoxville. It no longer exists, but I know, so I can't recommend it to anyone, but that's so sad. Regis had the best chicken fingers for 10-year-old Martha.
That's amazing.
I don't even know if I would like them as much anymore, but it was delicious back then.
Yeah.
And so when you looked for recipes, mm-hmm. how did you always do search on the internet? Or did you find like a website that was particularly good, or?
I pretty much always searched it, and I would kind of find a couple that were simpler, that mm-hmm. were, you know, the basic version of whatever I was trying to do. So like, again, with the ramen, I looked for a very basic, like, easy ramen that was like just basically like the broth, the veggies, the noodles, like how you get that all going. And then it for the most part it was just me googling it which was good. And then it was easier for me to be like, oh, I can modify all of this, which was good too,
for sure.
Yeah. And then I think there were a couple times, again with Japan, I think I bought them like a cucumber roll of sushi
because
I was like, this isn't, you know, I know you guys don't want the raw fish, like I get it, I didn't try it till I was way older too, but like, here's a cucumber one,
right?
I know you like cucumber, I know you like rice, like, let's give this a shot. So that was good. So there was a couple things that I cheated and I bought because I'm like, I can't make sushi,
right?
But since it was also at that market, it was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. And then I mean, with something like sushi too, I know like Mariano's is a local grocery store where you can go watch them roll the sushi. Mm-hmm. So like as you're getting your items, you could potentially, and I think a lot more grocery stores are starting to do that, like the Whole Foods and things
Jewel
like that.
Has it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. where you can watch people make the food, which then you're still getting a little bit of a taste of that without you having to become a sushi chef.
Right. I was like, I'm not gonna be able to do this in 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's good.
Yeah, I made sushi in England once, but it's hard.
Yeah,
it's really difficult.
It always looks so easy online.
It does. And then,
but no.
But they study for like 2 years or something, probably longer. I'm probably misspeaking. There was a friend told me about a documentary.
Oh,
so
got it.
This is secondhand documentary information.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you.
But great. So what was your favorite country that you guys did?
My favorite was probably Japan because I think I knew the most food from there. So I was able to kind of expand what I was giving them again with the sushi I bought myself, like real sushi. That was really good. And then, you know, that was the ramen lasted a while because they really, again, they didn't eat most of it. So I was able to use the ramen for myself for lunch, I think a day or two after that, which was good.
So would you usually do like a Wednesday or like
I think
early in the week?
I think I remember the two boys had camp 3 of the 5 days. So it was one of the 2 days that they weren't there.
Good
I think
call.
It usually was like Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
like
makes
it was
sense.
Earlier in the week, and then, you know, Thursday would be our big activity day if we wanted to do something.
Nice.
Yeah. And then they'd help me pick out what we're doing next week out of our list and stuff. But it was fun because for my very last week with them, I was like, well, let's pick our favorite dish from every country and we'll just make this giant feast.
Oh.
And it'll be great. So we had what did we have from everything? I know we had the guacamole and the chips were back. We had garlic bread. That was their favorite from Italy, and I could not blame them.
Yeah, it's
my
so
favorite
good.
Too. And then I can't even remember what all of our. I feel like it was mostly side dishes that we just kind of made into a.
Because the side dishes are the best
part. I know, and I think we. I don't remember what we did from Japan. We might have made ramen again, but like it was good. It was really fun. So that was like a fun send off for me and for them too, to be like, oh, this is our last week, so we're going to eat all of the foods we made. We're going to talk about why we like them and what we learned. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
What a cool, awesome idea. And yeah, and I love this idea particularly because you can expand on it or mm-hmm. or do, you know, not bare minimum, but like the, if you have younger kids or if they are right. in camp 1 week, mm-hmm. you know, you can just do one meal that week and yeah. that's enough and you yeah. can talk about it, but you can tailor it to your needs and the nanny family's needs as mm-hmm. well. And ages, you know, you can yeah. talk about different things with a 12-year-old than you can with a 2-year-old.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
But I still think it's very worth talking about it with the 2-year-old.
Yeah.
I think that that's such a fun idea mm-hmm. To yeah, just introduce them to new foods.
Yeah, it's the new food. And then, like, again, it's that whole lesson of everybody has these different tastes and like these different things. And I feel like the earlier a kid learns that, the better that is for them down the road. You know, like it's just a good life skill.
Yeah. So just to recap, let's go over the steps.
Yes.
So you, at the beginning of the summer, asked them all the countries they knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of made a list.
Mm-hmm.
You picked one to start with, which was Mexico, mm-hmm. because kids are mostly familiar
right.
with Mexican food.
Yeah.
And guacamole is a hit.
Is a hit.
Because I think any kid would love that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work at a Mexican restaurant mm-hmm. that had a guacamole cart. And one time I had to man it and I was very bad at it. But that was because all eyes were on me and the person that usually did it was really, really good at it. And I was like, oh no. I like dropped the pit, it rolled across the floor. It was very embarrassing. But with kids, you could take it slower.
Yes.
You don't have to do it in 2 minutes.
Right.
Because that was like the time that they put on it is you have to make guacamole in 2 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so pick a country to start with
mm-hmm.
and then go to or get recipes,
mm-hmm.
go to the store.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, back up, get recipes, check the ingredients that the family already has,
yes,
then go to the store,
yes,
and then make the food,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe pick an activity depending on how much time
right
and an interest there is,
yes,
in that particular country. Because I could also see, like, especially if we did the food early in the week, like on a Tuesday, mm-hmm. if they really are very interested in the
yeah.
in the country, you could do activities, you know, every day the rest of the
absolutely.
week, potentially,
absolutely.
And then you could go to the library mm-hmm. and like check out books about that country.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely did a couple library trips.
Yeah,
with that too. It was fun.
Which is so cool. Or like in Chicago, there's a bunch of museums.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know there's a Swedish American Museum mm-hmm. that you guys could go there and like look at that. And each, you know, city is different, but researching if there are local museums or like mm-hmm. you said, like stores that specialize in
yeah.
a particular country
mm-hmm.
or areas
mm-hmm.
food and go there. Because I think also if you took them there and it's not too busy and you're not bothering the people that work there,
right.
I think that they would be more than happy to answer questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then yeah, and then at the very end of the summer do a tour de world.
A feast, smorgasbord.
Yeah, of all the foods.
Yeah.
What a cool, awesome idea.
It's really fun, and it keeps them nice and, like, occupied in the summer, too. So it's something to do aside from a TV or, like, if it's
yes.
a really hot day and you don't want to be outside.
Yes, or rain. Like, summer mm-hmm. storms are a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And unpredictable
mm-hmm.
is the other thing, is, like, you can be at the park and it is sunny and then 5 minutes later.
For sure.
It is
and like
raining.
Cleaning the kitchen was always my little like break time.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, because I always wanted to leave it nicer than when I got it because it's
yes.
just a good practice.
It is.
And so, you know, that would be the time where I'd be like, okay, you guys can watch a TV show. And then I'd have like, and I'm like, if anyone wants to help, you can. But I never got any interest from that ever in my life. And so I would just like clean the kitchen and put everything away. And it was like a nice little breather for me. And then I could come back and be nice and perky and ready to go.
Yeah. What an awesome idea all around. I love it.
Thanks.
And then, yeah, you get food potentially
yes.
if they don't like it.
Exactly.
Somebody's going to
eat
it.
Now it's mine.
Yep. Well, awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that
yeah, thank
with
you
me,
for having me
and everyone else out in podcast land and Nania, I guess. And then For listeners, if you have questions about this, like you're like, wait, but you didn't talk about this part of it. How do I handle it? Send an email to chroniclesofnannya@gmail.com. Nannya is spelled N-A-N-N-Y-A. And I will either answer it myself or ask Carly and she can answer it for you. Also, one of the best ways to help Chronicles of Nannya grow is to go on iTunes and write a review. That moves us up in their algorithm so that we're seen by more eyes and then we get more listeners and then they write reviews and then we're seen by more eyes and it's a wonderful upward spiral. And so if you go on iTunes and write a review, that would be wonderful. Also, tell other nannies about us. Like, word of mouth is one of the best ways to spread this around. So if this is something that you enjoy, tell one nanny friend, recommend it to them, because your recommendation is going to be better than any advertising I could ever do. And that would mean the world to me. So, and then we end each episode with a fun story or quote, and Carly has brought one for us.
I have. So I'm going to stick with kind of the food drink subject here.
Perfect.
So I was babysitting this girl who was, I think she was like 5 or something, but she, her mom had poured her sippy cup in the beginning of the day or whatever. And, you know, I was hanging out with her. She takes a sip and she makes a face and goes, "This milk tastes really bad." And I go, "Oh no, let me see it." And I open it and I hand it back to her and I go, "That's because this is apple juice." And then she took another sip and she goes, "Oh, it's good apple juice." And I was like, "Okay, great."
Bad milk.
It's really bad milk. It's really good.
That's so funny and cute. Oh, this milk is really bad. Because, like, what a panicked moment of, like, did I just accidentally
drink really bad milk?
Yeah, like, serve her bad milk.
Exactly. I certainly don't want my milk to taste like apple juice. Like, that would be bad.
Yeah.
But it was good apple juice, just bad milk.
What a fun follow-up quote, too. Oh, no, it's good apple juice.
Yeah.
But I do know that feeling of, like, mm-hmm. when you drink water or what you think is water and it's, like, Sprite or sparkling water, like lime flavor, it really throws me.
Yeah, it just can mess your whole morning up.
It can. And I can only imagine for a kid how much more complicated that is.
Yes.
So, well, thank you so much, Carly. Yeah, this was so fun.
I had a blast.
And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
The Chronicles of Nannya is produced by Martha Reddick and Logan Nielsen. Artwork and logo by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nannya and on Twitter at Nannya Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnannya@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.